Derek Warren here with Delane Donaldson of the F.E. and Kennedy Cultural Center and Museum. Thanks for joining me again today.
Again, it's my pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's our monthly interview, so there's always a new topic you bring in. Today, it is centered around aviation.
Exactly.
In County.
Exactly. You know, when I look at it, today, we're broadcasting. It's a beautiful day outside, a beautiful fall day. Looked up at the perfectly blue skies, and I thought, this is a good day to talk about airplanes, you know.
Oh,
and I already planned it before coming up here, of course. But, you know, just as I look up at the skies, and we are so accustomed to seeing the jet streams across the skies on a beautiful blue sky, you know, and the like. I decided, looking at a topic for this, I thought, you know, one of the things that always impresses me is I will find people who will talk and they will say, hey, what can you tell me about? And then they will say something. And so one person recently said to me, what can you tell me about the airport that was on the north side of town? There was a landing strip out there, and I'd like to know more about it.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, well, I figured that would be the case.
Yeah.
And I started thinking about this and started doing research, I thought, well, I'll bet this is something that Derek probably, because he's too young to know much about this kind of a topic because it's from the past. But when I was growing up in Effingham, I remember that we had some relatives who lived on the north side of Effingham out in the country. It no longer is country out there. But, you know, as you go across the interstate bridge over going out on North 4th Street Road, heading on that road out past the Equity, you know, and down through that territory.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so you're on North 4th Street Road. You cross by Effingham Builder Supply there, and you keep going and up over the interstate. Now, when I was a youngster back in the 1950s, there was no interstate. You know, and so there was no bridge that was over the interstate. If you drove north on that road, which at that time was called North Rock Road, I remember that very clearly because that was the address of my relatives who lived out in the country, North Rock Road.
Okay.
And I remember that it was a typical country road, except for the fact that there was a concrete strip that ran down that road for, I don't know how long it was, seemed like, you know, a short distance, a quarter mile or something, a half mile. I'm not really certain how long it was. But then, and there was a little house that was there on the corner, and it was a weather station, just this very small building, and a tower that was there. And that was part of a weather station equipment.
Okay.
And so, you know, I'm not really certain when all of that disappeared. Probably there are people in your listening audience who can give a precise time. I don't remember when all that disappeared. But I remember very clearly people talking about when that was the airport out there. And I remember my mom telling me, she grew up over by Montrose. I remember my mom telling me, you know, she said, I remember back in the 1930s of going out there to the old airport, she called it, and they gave plane rides on, like, Sunday afternoons, you know, and things of that sort.
They kind of do something similar at the airport now, but I think it's more gliding and stuff like that.
Yeah. It's the same idea, that is, get people off the ground, yeah. And so, you know, one of the things I thought, well, this is an interesting topic then. So how long has Effingham County been involved with airplanes? And now, so when I began to research that, it was kind of interesting because I didn't go back just to when that old county airport out there, when the old airport was established. That was in 1931, and it was very well advertised in the newspapers, you know, come to the dedication of the Effingham Airport.
Yeah,
and people came in great numbers. I think they said on the first day that it was open there were about 10,000 people who showed up because they were so proud, you know, of the fact that they had this airport here in Effingham.
They had the whole county going in on it, too, because Effingham County Airport.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's that kind of a thing that is there, and an airport that was very, very important to the people because they realized that we were in a new age now with reference to transportation. Well, when I began to look, though, I found that before that airport was open, there was still an air history that was here in Effingham County.
Yeah.
So, and I just kept going backward and backward and backward. Got back to 1891.
Wow, so that's 40 years before this.
Yes, okay. The idea of air travel was part of what was taking place in Effingham County.
Okay.
in its conceptual stage. There was a doctor here, a medical doctor, Dr. Schifferstein was his name. He was also an inventor and interested in a whole lot of different kinds of things, but he was very interested in air travel. Now, remember, this is 1891 we're talking about. This is before the Wright brothers flight.
Yeah, right. All right, so all kind of experimental.
Yeah. So and I found, you know, looking through, I've got a historic newspaper subscription service that I go to, and so I can look up, you know, all of these things from the past. And so I began to look, and I saw that there were newspapers in Canada that talked about Dr. Schifferstein in Effingham, Illinois. There were newspapers from coast to coast and from north to south in America that talked about Dr. Schifferstein in Effingham, Illinois. Yeah. And all of them had in their titles, they had something about Dr. Schifferstein will soar into the air with his airplane and the like. And so he was being very well covered by the news media. And he was someone that was it would begin that would be the beginning point of interest in air travel here in Effingham area.
Okay.
Where he went with that, I do not know. I know that he wrote a bit about it, and he talked about, you know, the physics of flight, you know, and things of that sort. And as he described all that, then people were looking for it with anticipation to what was going to take place in Effingham, in air travel. I don't know where it went. You know, just all of a sudden, no, Dr. Schifferstein is in the news. He's still in the news as a doctor because he was in medical conferences and he was doing, you know, this, that, and the other in medicine. But I don't know what happened to that idea of Dr. Schifferstein soaring into the skies in Effingham, Illinois.
Did he change professions or something? I mean, he was still a doctor, but just shift to being a doctor?
Or maybe, you know, he shifted his interest, you know, because this was not his main focus, because medicine was his main focus. But I'm not really certain. That would be a topic to really explore sometime, too.
Yeah.
Now, beyond that point, then, when we think about American history, I think you will recall from your history classes in high school, depending on who our audience is out here, but we recall from those history classes in high school that World War I introduced air power to the world in terms of the fighters who were up there, you know, in those wing flights, and the Red Baron, you know, was a famous flyer from Germany, you know, and so people were very interested in the airplanes because they had seen that news about them during World War I. And that's when then we see a lot of different articles beginning to appear in local newspapers about air travel. So if we go back to 1891, and what I did is here, I just kind of listed for myself the major headlines or some of the headlines that were in newspapers at that time period. So we go back to August of 1918, there was a story about an airman who was killed in flight from Indianapolis to St. Louis. So the air traffic pattern for this part of the country was to a large extent from one big city to another big city. So Indianapolis to St. Louis would be a natural air route like it is today. You know, if you look up and you look across the skies with the jet streams, you can see that a lot. And there was a squadron of people. It was an international group who were in America, and they were making a tour, an air tour of the Midwest. A group of planes that flew out of Indianapolis heading towards St. Louis. Well, when they got to Effingham, they encountered a very severe thunderstorm. Now, weather patterns were very, very significant for air travel back in the early days. And so the planes began to go different directions, it appears. And one of those, when he headed in a southerly direction, then went down and was killed in that flight. By the time they had traveled, though, throughout all of America or the Midwest, they had flown about 26,000 miles, all the combined planes, you know, that were there. There were several of them. But that was a news story that people really were enthralled by, about these airplanes that were coming across America. And because now they could see what they had been reading in the newspapers about, the air problem, the air issues that were in Europe at that time. Now, I might mention at that time also that the College of Photography that was here in Effingham was in a training state for training photographers in how to take pictures from airplanes for the battlefield.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so that was part of the whole story as well here. And so there were a lot of photographers who were being trained here, and they would go to Europe, and they would participate during the course of the war in taking those photos from the air. Now, still in 1918, another story was about the landing field for aviators. And this story says the old Effingham County Fairgrounds, part of the Austin estate on the southwest limits of the city, is being prepared for a landing field. They will erect a building there for this landing field. Now, I don't know if you know where Lake Kanaga was. That's not a familiar use. When I was growing up, that was a lake that people knew. It was originally built as a place where there would be water for the steam engines passing through this area.
Okay.
And then it became a resort area for the railroad people for a while. And then when I was a kid growing up, it was a place where people went fishing a lot.
Okay.
Now, the Austin Estate, that is, if you know where Garnet Hall is in Effingham, proper here on South 4th Street, there was another Austin house, another one of the Austins who had built on the southwest side of Effingham. If you go out to the Watson Road, for instance, out in the country over here, that area over in there, that was the southwest limits, really, of the city. And there was the Austin Estate, a large tract of ground, which had a place like Garnet Hall there also. And so that was, and there was a fairground area that had been developed there at some point in time. Well, then it was decided that that old fairground would make a good place for a landing field for emergencies, you know, and things of that sort, because there were a lot of emergencies in early air travel. And so they began to develop that and think about the development of that air area during 1918. Then we have, moving to 1819, another news story that talked about two...
Was it 1919?
1919. Yeah, okay. What did I say?
1819.
Well, okay, 1919, yeah.
Just want to make sure.
Jumping ahead of myself here. So in 1919, two lieutenants arrived at 2 o'clock today from Newton. There was an airfield down at Newton also.
Okay.
And they released a carrier pigeon, it said, to send back to wherever they had come from to tell the people they had arrived in Effingham. And, you know, that just how different life was.
Yeah, right.
Not that many years ago, in reality, going back to 1919.
That's crazy.
And the reason for their visit was they were traveling across America, or this part of the country, I should say. They were traveling across this part of America to build interest in contributing toward the indebtedness that was left by World War I.
Okay.
And so we need money, and we want people to participate in this. And so the airplane was an attraction to get people out there. And then there would be a little presentation that would ask them that would they be willing to contribute toward that end. Same year, in July of 1919, the headline said, "Great Stunts by the Flyers at Effingham." Because part of what was happening in that time period as the airplanes became popular was daredevils would say, hey, we can really put on quite a show up in the air for people.
Right.
Very different,
that,
you know. This would be the era of the people who would climb on the top of airplanes and stand up and do, you know, walking up in the air, you know, that kind of a thing. And the news story dealing with this said, it looked like a swallow in midair catching a butterfly as it twisted and spun, flopped and dipped and dived, somersaulted, looped, flipped, skinned the cat without having a trapeze to hang on to. And then when the plane landed in the field here in Effingham, when it landed in the field, it came down into a field that had not been well kept, so the grass was really tall. And when the plane landed, the propeller hit the tall grass and damaged the propeller on the plane. And so they had to repair that. They had to spend a little bit more time here than what they thought was going to be before they traveled on to other areas. By 1923, there was a newspaper story from October of that year which said, "Flyers like Effingham." And they were coming through this area because there were air races that were taking place down in St. Louis. And so that Indianapolis to St. Louis route was one that, again, a lot of flyers right. came in on. And this was kind of an area over which planes from other areas would cross as they were heading down to the air races. And when they came into Effingham, they really liked what had been done here in terms of the fact that they had these places to land planes. Now, that was not an airport. You know, this is just a landing field area.
Right.
And so they would land their planes, and then when they came in, sometimes they would bring in experimental aircraft because we're still in the early days of airplanes.
Yeah. Everybody's trying new things. Yeah.
And, you know, and so it was that the newspapers would then keep the people up on, okay, we've got a plane that landed today that had six people in it, you know, and that was a kind of special kind of thing. And different kinds of things like that were taking place as these people flew hundreds of miles, literally, when they landed here in Effingham, heading on to St. Louis, a lot from farther to the east than would come in, you know, and land here, visiting for a brief period of time. Now, when you think, and just a question to you, Derek, here, when you think of early aircraft, you might think of the Wright brothers, but whose name would you most associate with air travel? This is a history test this morning for you here. Back in the 1920s.
Back in the 20s. I mean, I don't know. The president at the time was probably had an inkling toward it because it was new and it was something that they could utilize in many different ways. But beyond that, I immediately think of the Wright brothers.
So, well, let me give you some more clues here. So all of the things we've been talking about thus far have been within the United States or the planes that were flying in Europe during World War I. But nobody had crossed the ocean in such plane. Now.
Oh, Amelia Earhart?
That's much later.
Okay.
Charles Lindbergh.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, right. You know that. You know, what I'm doing here is I'm jogging, you know, historic memories that you've got up there.
It takes a minute.
So you go back to the high school class. So Charles Lindbergh was very, very important in this era, and he was a popular figure no matter where he went and what he was doing. And so in the 1920s, people began to look at what Lindbergh latter part of the 20s, what he was doing and how there was need for something that was a permanent airfield here in Effingham. So 1928, there was a big push to say we have to get a permanent airport here in Effingham because they could see that was the future.
Yeah.
Now, it is also in this time period that a lot of people who were in the military saw how valuable the planes would be in the military in the future. And so there were a lot of flights that were taking place across southern Illinois, just in a way in which there was training for military people whenever they were ready, if they were ready to go into to battle. And people looked in and they saw fields that were up at Champaign. They saw Scott Field down by Belleville. They saw Rantoul, you know, that those fields were beginning to develop. And so they began to push and let's get an airport here.
Yeah.
So now, 1928. By this time, a factory called Vulcan Last Company had moved into Effingham. Okay. And it eventually was a massive employer. Hundreds of people were employed there. And it evolved through the years from being a shoe factory type, producing shoe lasts, they were called. These are heels and the like for shoes. And they were producing that. And then it evolved into what was called Norge and then Fetters, producing home appliances, you know, air right. conditioning and things of that sort.
Fetters, I remember.
Okay,
before
yeah,
that, no.
Yeah, yeah. So we're taking you way back here. So Vulcan Last had come to Effingham. And Vulcan Last, in order to make themselves kind of endeared to a community, put on air shows.
Yeah,
and so in 1928, the headline was in the Effingham County papers, "Whistles Blow Announcing the Plane's Arrival, the Vulcan Aircraft Squadron." And there was a special show that they put on just for the people of Effingham County. Again, thousands of people came just to watch this. And as they were looking at this, they were talking, you know, they saw a two-hour air show, and in fact, they let the people off work at Vulcan last so they could go out to the farm where this landing field was at that particular another time here.
Now, Vulcan is the company name, and then they also had a hand in this.
Yeah.
And this is obviously this is well before Star Trek, so they don't Vulcan. This is Vulcan before Vulcan.
Precisely. Yeah. So this is a very very important time period, just in terms of the fact that they looked at things from ancient history that they could move into the present and give kind of a feel for, you know, the significance. This is a very significant thing that's taking place. Well, it's also in 1929 that Charles Lindbergh made news here locally because Charles Lindbergh landed over at St. Elmo. And there at St. Elmo, because he had a good friend who lived in St. Elmo. Now, Charles Lindbergh was a man who also carried airmail. Okay. Airmail was now coming into vogue, and it was very clear to people that Effingham should be an area which would be a primary landing point for distributing mail, and then moving, you know, that then they'd go further east or west, whichever way that the plane was flying there. And so a lot of pressure was beginning to be put on, and it was, we're going to try to make sure that we have a place here where we can serve the greater nation here just by the distribution of the airmail. And so then the question was, okay, now what do we have to do in order to get this airport officially here in Effingham? And so in the 1930s, the pressure really got cranked up a lot. And again, you know, this is a time when Charles Lindbergh was a central figure in a lot of things happening in America during the 1930s. And that in the beginning of the 30s, remember the Lindbergh kidnapping of the Lindbergh's child, you know, that was very, very excruciating event for American history. Anything that would happen to the Lindberghs was in the news. People very interested in just flight in general. They were interested in the flyers and, you know, and all of that. And then in 1930, we also saw that the federal government became very interested in marking out those spots that would be very important for the airmail and transferring, you know, planes, mail from one plane to another here, and, you know, and distributing mail in this part of the country and so on. And so the Department of Commerce sent representatives to Effingham to say, okay, where can we put this field? And they began to really search. You know, there's a possibility out on the north edge of town where the original thing was out there, or maybe someplace else. And as they began to limit the territory, then the decision was made that they would go to the south edge of Effingham, where the airport currently is. And they began to develop the plans for that. And they wanted to know just exactly what should go out there. Well, they needed a tall tower, they said. They needed multiple airstrips and things of that sort that would be good for them. But it was also then looking back to that the other side of town and developing that to the full, and in fact that's what they did. So there were several choices really that were in the bigger area, but the north side of town was the area where we really had development. The south would wait for a while, and that comes when we get it past World War II, then that we see that development taking place. And so But with this, from 1891, which was a date that really, really puzzled me when I looked at that, I thought, boy, this was really something when this guy from Effingham was ahead of the Wright brothers, apparently. In fact, he had this great design, but then things just fizzled out for some reason. And
maybe it was lack of funding or something.
Who knows? Yeah. Or he just was too busy in his medical trade.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting story looking at that that area north of Effingham, which I remember as a kid in the 1950s, you know, that the airport road, we always called it, although there weren't planes landing there anymore. But, you know, it was that strip that was out there, and we knew there was a tower there. We knew there was a weather station there, all of that part of the development of air power in Effingham County.
Yeah, and the weather station, that was well before NOAA, if I am correct on that. Mm-hmm. So they didn't have coordinated like responses or warnings to any storms coming in. So there's kind of each man their own on that type of thing for any flights going out.
And, you know, and one of the things that's very noticeable is the fact that there were so many planes that had to go down and planes that were wrecked. There were lots of plane crashes that took place in the 1930s, 1920s, 1930s. And a lot of those were, you know, small flights, small planes that were going down because weather was a real force that they had to make decisions about. We got to get down on the ground here before we're knocked out of the air.
Yeah, well, it was just as unpredictable then as it is now. So, I mean, yeah. You got to always be on the lookout for that. But that's really interesting that it was 30 or so years before the Wright brothers. That's kind of interesting.
Well, it was 1891 and the Wright brothers then in the early 1900s here. So we're looking
so about 15, 10, yeah, 20, yeah, okay, yeah,
yeah. 10 or so years.
Either way, though, that's really cool. Here in Effingham, of all places.
Exactly. Yeah. I had never, ever thought about that before. And then I thought, okay, Dr. Schifferstein, wow. This guy was really something. He was ahead of his time, you know.
Yeah, he was nationwide renowned, and even in Canada as well, you said. So really interesting learning about our local history here. So any other last thoughts on that?
Well, I just think whenever you look up in the skies, like on a beautiful day like this, and you see the airplanes that are up there and, you know, all the things that we can do with air power in the present, that so much of that early history was in small-town America and developing. The geniuses were living, you know, out in these little towns, and they were able to all eventually kind of their thoughts all came together anyhow in developing once the government got involved in the commerce, especially for air commerce and air mail and things of that sort. When the federal government got involved in this, then it was we can utilize all these little towns across America because that's going to be an important part of the way we communicate in the future. I was thinking the other day when I was a kid, you know, we had air mail stamps. Because if you wanted something to go to Europe fast, for instance, it was what you bought air mail stamps. To make sure that they went faster than on a boat, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
So anyhow, I'm thinking, when I was a kid, I used to collect stamps a little bit, you know, and I'd peel stamps off of letters that came to our house, and you know, and those air mail stamps were always a special. And I unfortunately, I think I've lost all that stuff from the past, but you know, that air power and air, just the role of airplanes in our life. In a little over 100 years has just dramatically changed the way that we think about the world. And, of course, we get more and more power and we get more and more ability to manipulate things up in the air today than we've ever had before. And it all started, a lot of it started in small-town America.
That's just crazy to think about, and it just shows that innovation is everywhere. You just got to know where to look.
Mm-hmm.